Chapter 32. Location: floating over Port Marion, Wales. As Nimbus floated up above the cottage and drifted towards the quaint Italian-style village of Port Marion, he thought about what Lady Meander had said. If he just let go of his expectations and listened to Megan's point of view, his moments with her would be more meaningful. He drifted to a higher elevation and then thought about the two women and their relationship. Megan not such a pushover, and Ruth just wearing an armor of fear. No doubt Ruth's defensive attitude was all about her impending doom, even though it was a self-inflicted impending doom. But what did she know about death? What does any human being know until it's upon them? "Forest for the trees," Nimbus said, then wondered. When she's alone, what is she really thinking about in her limited days? "Well, who wouldn't be angry?" he said to a flock of mallard ducks in flight. Was she wondering what a different life she could have had if she only, what, never smoked? But it's too late. Is it? Physically, yes, but mentally she's still sharp. Sharp, all right, poking holes in Megan. But why? What could I say to get her to put away her nails? He watched the ducks circle and land at the water's edge of the nearby pond. "I know, just show up and listen until she starts to trust me." He did know that trust was the first thing to gain. She no longer trusted Megan, not because her daughter had taken over her finances, but Megan had given away the wrong stuff. What's one man's treasure is another's trash. Ruth had become a bit of a hoarder, keeping all of the packaging of everything she had ever bought, including all the food containers from restaurants. She had stopped cooking long ago, since popular Port Marion had more than the usual restaurants, and they delivered. Megan told Nimbus the story when her mother had lost her temper and had a similar coughing attack like what had happened with Nimbus.
"You had no right," Ruth had yelled.
"I'm sorry, Mom. They were piling up everywhere, and I just needed to clear some space out of my bedroom so I could get to my bed."
"You just want to dispose all of my valuables so that you can go back home. Well, I'm not leaving just yet. I'm not."
Then she had her attack, which panicked Megan into a frenzy. Even though she was getting the hang of calming her mother down with a liquid sedative, she still stressed that if her mother died, it would be her fault. Finally, when Ruth got control of her breathing, Megan would give her the morphine so she could go to sleep. Nimbus remembered Megan telling the story and felt sad again.
"I just wasn't thinking that all those empty boxes and fly-speck food containers were such a big part of her life. It's just stuff."
But it was her stuff. Nimbus thought about it again as he floated back over the cottage. Megan was outside tending to the chickens and collecting the eggs.
"They were Ruth's containers," Nimbus said. "They were the containers of her past and reminders of what she bought or what she had eaten, maybe even to store something for her future." He floated in thought. "It seems that all humans need containers to store their past."
Nimbus remembered the self-storage business and how popular renting out self-storage units had become. Maybe the renter was storing stuff for a new business or a remembrance of belongings from an old house or old relationships. But Ruth, she had her own self-storage right at her fingertips daily, he said. Then he had an aha moment.
Since she was confined to her bed, if the outer stuff of her life was taken away, would she then have to focus on the inner stuff of her body dying?
Megan walked over with a basket full of eggs, looking like a pioneer woman from the wild, wild west. She was wearing overalls, and her hair was hidden under a collapsible cowboy hat she had brought back from the States.
"Oh, good you're back and looking so bright. I feel much better. How are you doing? He followed her into the kitchen. Setting the basket on the metal work table, she picked up a brown egg and examined it. Do you know that you don't have to refrigerate eggs? They can last for months in a dark place, and all you have to do is just rotate them every month or so. The yolks need to keep moving. I didn't know that, Megan. Nimbus floated over to the table to watch her. Learn something new every day. Well, I sure learned something about my mom, she said. I wish I had never started getting rid of her stuff. She set a pan of water on the stove and turned the dial to high. I'm making deviled eggs, she said, rubbing the shells under the running water. What a name! I read that they are called deviled eggs because in the old days they added very hot spices to the yolks. Huh, Nimbus mused. They discussed egg history and a container theory regarding people's belongings. I have had some experience with self-storage, Nimbus said, and started explaining about his short assignment with the self-storage owners. He ended up aborting when a flood did more damage to their business than could be imagined. Wait, start over, Megan said. I don't want the trailer version. He took a deep breath and started the story again. Well, it all started when Michael was trying a different method with the ACT. That's the Angel Cloud team, my team. Megan put the eggs in the boiling water, turned the dial to low, and sat down. Archangel Michael, right? Yes, he usually assigned a special mission for our personality types. But then he said to me one time, "How well do you know yourself, Nimbus?" Nimbus floated to the open kitchen door and took some breaths. Then he continued. His new program was to give us a choice of three assignments to pick from. Well, I picked mine immediately, thinking a self-storage business. Piece of cake, how hard can it be? It does sound simple, Megan said. No ongoing customers after the sign-up, just dead space filled with stuff. That's what I thought. But what was all that stuff and what did it mean to the owner? Nimbus asked. I bet you were curious, she said. I was at first. There was a lot of coming and going. He watched her put the rest of the eggs from her basket into an egg carton and place it in the cabinet next to the refrigerator. She turned over two older egg cartons and closed the door. I always thought it would be so fun to run a self-storage business, Megan said over her shoulder as she headed to the hall. But hold your thought. I'll be right back. I need to go check on Mom. Nimbus drifted outside. Moments later, she returned and joined Nimbus on the porch. She's still asleep, Megan said with a sigh and sat down in the old redwood rocking chair. It creaked back and forth. So why did you abort? Excuse me? Nimbus said, confused. You said damaged floods made you leave. Oh, yes. Well, that's a long story. But let me tell you what happened before I got there and why they asked the angels for help. Okay, what happened? Megan asked, rocking faster. It all started when the self-storage owners were on the 5 o'clock news with more hazmat and fire trucks at their business than you can imagine. Why? There was a report of hazardous waste. Seriously? Yeah. They found out that somebody must have had a container marked hazardous waste and wanted to unload it fast. So, wait, where and how did someone get this hazardous waste? No one knows. Nimbus adjusted his glasses, then added, but apparently the thief must have broken into one of the 24-hour access units at the self-storage company and dumped it there. You're kidding. No. And when the construction guy saw that his unit was broken into and the container with the red skull and crossbone label was in his unit, he freaked out and called 911. Oh, did they catch the bad guy? No. And no harm was done. Just a terrible embarrassment for the owners and their reputation. Poor, poor people, right? Megan said. Exactly. And if that wasn't enough, the self-storage units were being broken into on a regular basis.
Originally, the owners had hired a guard service to open and close the gates morning and night. They were getting on in years and didn't want to lock the gates themselves. Well, why didn't they have electrical gates? They couldn't afford them. And anyway, they liked the security of the guard service. Ha! Megan suddenly jumped up and Nimbus reacted quickly so as not to scatter. Wait, she said. Hold your thought. She darted in to turn off the stove. After running cold water into the pan of eggs in the sink, she returned. Okay, sorry. The guard service. Well, the guard service was present, all right. They were the ones breaking into the units. Get out. No, seriously, every week. And since they had the keys to the gate, they could load up and leave without detection. Poor people. And the poor self-storage owners, too. They were not only upset for all the people getting robbed, but their reputation as well, regardless of everyone having insurance. Well, how did they find out that it was the guard service? Mr. Self-Storage made a deal with this big guy, Jake, to let him live in his trailer at the back of their property in exchange for watching the place. One night, Jake heard a car and saw them breaking into a unit. He fired a warning shot from his shotgun that he kept in his trailer for protection. When they didn't stop, he shot their radiator and took down their license number before they squealed off through the open gate. The car belonged to one of the employees of the guard service. No. Yeah. And he had a friend. But nothing happened except the guard was fired. And the owners ended up getting an electronic gate in the end after all. Poor, poor people, Megan said. Oh, it gets worse. Seriously? How? You mean besides the rock band practicing in their rented unit, a runaway kid living in another, and a freezer malfunctioning in a unit with a lot of blood flowing out from under the roll-up door? What? Yeah, well, it turned out it was elk's blood. The renter was a hunter. But what a scare, and the police were involved again. He had a freezer in his unit? How is that possible? Well, some of the units had electricity. Remember, it was a very old facility. Wow. Yeah, but it was this homeless guy who broke the camel's back. Oh, that's an idiom that means it really polished him off. I am blown away about all this, Nimbus. Now that's an idiom, meaning flabbergasted. They both laughed. Megan stopped rocking and said, Wait, I need to do the eggs. Can you join me inside? Sure. He followed her into the kitchen and formed into his usual mattress shape before continuing. So what polished off the camel? She asked, cracking up as she cracked an egg against the sink. Well, this guy rented a self-storage unit in a 24-hour access row and came in every month paying in cash on time. I wasn't sure he was on the up and up, so I watched him during the night. He would lock his unit about 7 every night. I think he had a cleaning service polishing floors because of the buffers and cleaning supplies he had stored in his unit. I stopped paying attention until I saw some strange blue things on the owner's office roof. Like what kind of blue things? Like bags or something. So I started watching him again and found that early every morning he would roll up his door, walk out at dawn, and throw one of those small blue plastic bags on the office roof. I reported my findings to the missus. What did she say? Well, the same day, the missus told me that a guy fixing a leak in their roof found them too. They were the same blue bags that newspapers come in, and they were full of what looked like dog poo. What? Megan cracked another hard-boiled egg on the sink and peeled off the shell. But he didn't have a dog. Come to find out, it was human, not dog. Oh, my God! He was living in his unit? Right. And that's what broke her. I heard her say to the mister, excuse my swearing, I am being shit on by my own customers, and that's the final straw. I would have been so angry, Megan said, starting to get upset, trying to separate one of the eggs from its shell. As she tried gingerly to pull the shell off, it tore a large white chunk off, revealing the yolk.
Why do some eggs separate from their shells so easily and others just won't let go? Nimbus remembered what Lady Meander had told him about skins and letting go. Somehow, he was feeling a connection. But what about the flood? She asked. What? You were going to tell me the reason you left. Was the flood your fault? Then they both heard the ringing of the bell. Wait, let me check on my mom, Megan said quickly, leaving the kitchen. Flood. Oh, that, Nimbus said to himself, looking out the door at the rocker, moving gently in the wind. He wanted to tell Megan not to feel so bad about her mother's stuff, since he flooded out 20 or 30 units in Row D with his attempt to help. That was another one of his worst moments, but in those days, he still hadn't learned how to take a breath between thought and reaction. In this case, the cause and effect had dire consequences. Nimbus drifted back outside with his thoughts. During that one particular night at the self-storage company, he remembered seeing a nicely dressed young man remain in his unit, not leaving at closing time. Then a car drove up, and a hooded man got out and walked to the chain-link fence. Shortly after, the young man on his cell phone came out of his unit, walked to the fence, and passed something to him through the chain links. Drugs, Nimbus thought. Or something illegal anyway. The guy in his trailer was long gone with the installation of the electric gate. All other access into the cell storage facility was sealed off with fencing. And the only camera was on the electronic gate that still honored the open and closing hours. Consequently, the young man went undetected except by Nimbus, who watched nightly. As more and more activities caused more and more exchanges, Nimbus was getting mad. He thought if he just rained on their parade, they would stop, but they didn't. Then he thought if he fired little lightning bolts over their heads, they would stop, but they didn't. He knew he should have gone to the owners and let the law handle it, but he wanted to impress Michael and certainly show the Mr. and Mrs. that he was an answer to their prayers. How was he to know that there was a business next door that would cause all the problems? The business next door to the self-storage business was a car dealership and was located up the hill. The extra-large parking lot had just been resurfaced with fresh asphalt, and the extra-wide driveway curved down the hill directly across the street from Row D at the self-storage business. One night, when Nimbus had had enough with the increased trafficking of drugs, he decided to teach the bad guys a lesson. However, when he saw them exchanging through the chain-link fence, he built too big, too fast, and not only fried the hands of the young man, but the receiver's hands as well. They looked like they were doing some strange ritual dance, the way their bodies were acting. When Nimbus realized that they couldn't let go of the fence, he stopped his charge and set them free. And to make things worse, Nimbus had built into such a big storm, he hurried next door to the business on the hill and let loose. Torrents of rain poured out of him until he emptied. In the meantime, the young man wandered around in a daze, shaking his hands as the other hooded man scooped up the packages from the ground with his forearms and staggered back to his old wreck of a car. He drove off, weaving recklessly down the street. Suddenly, Nimbus was shocked, then horrified when he saw water, his water, rolling off the hill and down the business's newly paved wide driveway. It crossed the street and rushed down Row D, flooding every single unit on both sides. What a disaster! Nimbus remembered still feeling the shame. When the owners finally put their business up for sale, he knew he was actually the heavy straw. His confession to Michael was beyond tearful, and his humiliation paramount. Megan suddenly appeared. Oh, sorry, Nimbus. Mom needs a bath for good reason. Let's pick this conversation up later, okay? Okay, sure. I'll catch up with you when you're finished.
Nimbus floated up and away, hoping to leave that bad feeling behind.